John had a bit of a fear. And, you know, I didn't. I guess I am just, I know that where I'm serving the Lord will be with me in any country, in any place. And my husband had a little bit of reservation. He says, I'll stay home and take care of the home.
She has a delightful sense of humor, but she also trusts God when she ventures into primitive and dangerous countries to serve the Lord, even if her husband is too scared to go. Beverly Jenkins will tell us how a Muslim found Christ during her medical service in Uzbekistan as we listen to Methodist Hour.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Mary John Wilkin and contemporary praise. A challenging interview with a lady who sacrificially serves the Lord. And a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you?
Assist me to proclaim.
Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. We are an affiliate member of the General Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church. Prayer and praise are combined in this contemporary song. Sing along with us. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Let's turn now to The Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our reader, the Reverend Judy Wolfe.
Thank you, Whit. Our inspirational thought for today is entitled Forward in Faith. It is written by Ralph Lord Roy of Connecticut. Ralph writes, "What if-onlys do we need to give to God today?" The scripture lesson is Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Paul wrote, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal." While in seminary, I spent several months as a home visitor for a large church in New York City. One day, I approached a house where all the shades were drawn. I could sense an atmosphere of melancholy as I rang the bell. A woman appeared and invited me in. Amid sobs, she told me her sad story. More than 20 years earlier, she had been engaged to a handsome young man from a prominent family. Her wedding dress had been made, the wedding party selected, invitations mailed. Then, less than a month before the wedding day, her fiancé eloped with someone else. For 2 decades, this forlorn woman had relived that disappointment every day. If only things had happened differently, she kept repeating. The scripture tells us that we can put defeats and mistakes of the past behind us and live today in faith. As we look for God in each moment of our present, we can find abundant life. May we pray. O Lord God, I give to you the burdens that hinder me today from living fully today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, it's Share Your Faith time.
I have back with me today on Methodist Hour, Beverly Brill Jenkins, who is a dental hygienist. Last week, we talked together and Beverly shared how she had found Christ. She's been in several foreign countries serving Christ as a dental hygienist and teaching the people, natives of those countries, how to do that kind of important work. Beverly, welcome to Methodist Hour.
Thank you.
And you were sharing your testimony of how you found Christ. An invitation was given, and you went forward and confessed Him as your Savior and Lord, and you love the Lord. And Beverly, I want to say that you're a beautiful person, and Christ is reflected in your smile and your personality. You're a blessing, and you're really a beautiful person. Your husband, John, helps you as your assistant. And you keep him straight and tell him what to do.
Yes. He's a great help. You know, coming out of the insurance business to assisting his dental hygienist's wife is something. But he's excellent. I could not function without him.
Isn't that wonderful? You can work together. Now, when you went to Uzbekistan and mm-hmm. some of those other countries, did John go with you at that time?
John had a bit of a fear. And, you know, I didn't. I guess I am just, I know that where I'm serving the Lord will be with me in any country, in any place. And my husband had a little bit of reservation. He says, I'll stay home and take care of the home. And so he did. But, you know, when I was in that country, oh, my heart just ached for the needs of that country.
To represent a real sacrifice to go to a country that is backward and not well developed, and there's risks involved.
Oh, there are, and probably not only the political unrest, but also the health hazards that possibly you could concept. But you know what? God was with us.
Beverly Brill Jenkins, you went to work as a dental hygienist, but in a sense, you were going as a missionary for Christ.
Yes.
But don't you feel that? I believe you do that. That Christ was your motivation to serve others.
And you know, one of the most blessed things happened that our, the man in charge who was from the Office of Economic Development in Central Asia, and by his seeing Christ through us, he was a Muslim.
Yes.
He saw Christ in us, and he wanted to come to the United States. And so Dr. Warren Schaefer, the dentist who went along with this, was instrumental in bringing him and let him stay in his home. And do you know,
isn't that beautiful?
We didn't preach to him. He saw.
He just saw the love of God.
And you know
in you.
What? He wanted that.
Yes.
And he found an evangelical church, I guess, someplace in we call it Clackamas, Oregon, just outside of Portland.
And he turned to Christ, became a Christian.
Yes. And he is, it's just, you see, you never know.
You know, Beverly, there's nothing more beautiful than the love of God in Christ, reflected in Christ. And really, every Christian ought to be a reflection of Jesus. And when people see the Lord, they're drawn to Him.
Well, that's often I say, if people don't know Jesus, I pray that they see Jesus through me.
Yes.
Whatever, you know, I may say or do.
Yes.
You know.
And Beverly, we do see Jesus through you, and you just look at you and your smile and your personality, it's beautiful. So here's a lady who's working in a field of dentistry, and who also is ministering for Christ and serving others and bearing witness to the love of God. And I think it's beautiful. I've been talking today with Beverly Brill Jenkins, and I'm so glad that our paths crossed, Beverly. We're on a cruise ship, the Mazdam, and you are the dental hygienist on this ship. You're serving the crew.
Yes.
And helping them. Yes. Well, that's wonderful. Beverly Brill Jenkins, thank you so much for sharing with us. It's been a wonderful joy to talk with you today. God bless you.
I'd never dreamed of. He knew it had been such a long time since I'd seen the color of sunshine. The moment he found me, the whole walls around me melted in the warmth of his love. He loved me, he loved me, and he asked for so little in return. He loved me so and he patiently waited while I learned. Love lights the way for another, then finally he helped me discover.
Was Mary John Wilkin, country music writer who found Christ in later years of her life and wrote beautiful songs, this is one of them, about her Savior who loved her so much. Dear friend, do you know that you have two friends who are eagerly waiting to hear from you? The first friend is the Upper Room prayer line. Someone is waiting to answer your prayer call. We don't want you to carry your burdens alone. If you have a need, a concern which is weighing upon you, just pick up your telephone and dial the Upper Room prayer line. You'll hear the voice of a friend who will listen to your concerns and will pray with you for guidance and for hope. The other friend who is waiting is God Himself. He wants us to bring our burdens to Him because He cares about us. Don't carry that burden alone. Your friend on the Upper Room prayer line will bring you to God in prayer. You are loved, and your concern is important to God. You are not alone. It's a free call. Dial 1-800-251-2468, the Upper Room prayer line. 1-800-251-2468. Get in touch with your friends today. You'll be glad you called. Today's message has an unusual title. You can't put it into a trunk. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Whit. The gospel lesson is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where there was a woman named Martha who welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But Jesus answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need only for one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Amen." She said the dish was worth $2,000. And I thought, how in the world could this little dish, this little soup bowl, be worth $2,000? Well, Judy's Aunt Moretta is a serious art and antique dealer, and I was holding on to one of her prized possessions, but I had no idea of its value because I didn't notice the details of the piece and didn't even know how to look for them. There are scriptures like the one today that have details that are so easy to overlook that we forget to notice, and sometimes they provide such rich understanding for the meaning of the lesson itself. At first reading, this lesson is about two sisters named Mary and Martha. Mary is listening to Jesus' words, and Martha is busy with chores around the house. Jesus gently reminds Martha that listening to his words are the most important thing she could be doing. Now let's take a second look at that. See, Luke begins this lesson by telling us that Jesus and the disciples are, quote, on the way. Remember that whenever you see these words, on the way, they're teaching us that Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, on the way to the cross, and on the way to die. You might begin by saying, when Jesus was headed toward Jerusalem to the cross, he decided to stop to see some good friends. He went by the home of Mary and Martha. Now, Luke does not tell us exactly where they lived, only that it was on the way to the cross. If you begin to think about Jesus right now, his heart is already heavy as he begins to think about that cross. The cross would mean humility, humiliation. It would mean leaving friends and family. Things were no longer the same, and Jesus now knew that he would have to face the cross and all that it meant. And I think Jesus knew these two women. Their friendship would be a comfort to him and to the disciples. Stopping there would mean a good night's rest with good friends. Scholars remind us that for Jesus to stop to visit and teach in the home of two women was very irregular. No self-respecting rabbi would even consider being seen in the home of two women. Mary and Martha were obviously excited to see Jesus in their home. The visit was apparently not expected, and Martha had so much preparation to take care of. Luke really doesn't say what all she was doing. He only refers to her many tasks. Now, Martha was not doing anything wrong. In fact, what she was doing was quite normal. What she was doing was out of respect for her honored guest. Martha wanted to express her care for Jesus by making everything in her home ready for him. But Jesus just wanted to talk with her. He wanted to share his life with this good friend. There is an important principle here. You remember Stephen Covey's in his excellent book on leadership. He says, "I've never met a man who on his deathbed said, 'I wish I'd spent more time at the office.'" When I read those lines, friends, I began to pause and think for a long time about my dad. I remembered those numerous times when he would come home on Friday night. Friday was payday. Often Dad would stop at the grocery on the way home and bring some little bags of candy to me and my older brother. The little brown bags were full of different kinds of candy. I realize now that that he had to personally pick out the assortment from the big glass jar there at Earl's grocery store. I know that he was thinking of us as he did that. He thought of us individually. The bags were always different, but equal. Dad worked a lot at night. He usually came home for dinner and had to go back to work. When my brother and I were old enough, Dad would occasionally take us to work with him. One of my most vivid memories is the night he took us on a wrecker call. Dad was the manager of a Pontiac dealership. Emergency calls came to our home often after hours. This night it had been snowing for a long time, and one of his customers had jammed her car into the side of a snowbank. Dad had to crawl under the car to hook up the chains to pull the car out of the snow. It was cold. We were cold. It took a long time, and I don't remember the customer ever coming that night. But you know, I do remember thinking that this customer must be very important because my dad worked very hard for her that night in the snow. As a little boy, I never thought about my dad being tired and cold and wanting to be in the home on those nights. But Dad never said much about anything like that to my two brothers and to me. The sad thing is for me that I never understood how much I needed for my dad to take time to talk with me and to talk with my brothers. When Dad was around, he was always fixing things or painting things. He could fix anything. Sometime late in my adolescence, Dad's alcohol addiction began to play a major role in our family. By the time I was a teenager, I was so busy with school and football and youth group that I just didn't have time to talk to Dad. Now, I was doing some important things that most teenagers do. It wasn't that I didn't love my family, but I just didn't have the time. At Dad's funeral, I kept thinking, I wish we had time to talk. I wish we had time just to know each other, to share dreams and hopes, time for Dad to teach me things that I would need to know for living my life. It made me think of Jim. Jim's dad was a college professor. When Jim was about 7, his dad was working on his dissertation for his PhD. He was working on a research project in archaeology. During the summer, Dr. Winston had to go to Israel to work in the digs to gather information for his research and publications. Jim had two brothers. Dr. Winston received numerous awards for his work in his field. His travel took him all over the world. Because of his work, he spent a lot of time off working in his lab. Jim was so proud of his dad, some of his friends actually grew kind of tired of hearing about how Jimmy bragged on his dad all the time. Dad, he said one night, I want to be an archaeologist. What do you think, Dad? Well, son, I don't think you have what it takes. It's a lot of hard work, and you don't like to work that hard. Now, Jimmy was a B-plus student and was awarded several scholarships when he graduated from high school. When he graduated from his college, he had a 3.4 average on a 4.0 system. He had been a successful student. Jim applied for graduate school to get a PhD in archaeology. He failed the exam. In fact, he failed twice. For 30 years, Jim had failed at numerous jobs. In fact, every time he became successful at his job, suddenly everything went wrong. His marriage was destroyed. His two sons are angry at him for messing up their lives. Dad's never around, they told me. He never talks to us. We don't have a clue about what's going on with him. They were just so frustrated. You know, I hope you can follow this story. When I last saw Jim, we were sitting under a tree in front of Peachford Mental Health Hospital in Atlanta. He was being treated for his chemical addiction. John, he said, you know, my dad was right. I'm really not smart enough to amount to anything. Dad and I never really talked much, but I'll never forget that night in the lab when he told me. And just before he said the words, there was such a sadness in his face, it just overwhelmed me. He said, my dad said, Jimmy, you just don't have what it takes. You know, somewhere in Jim's garage, there are several large trunks full of his dad's plaques and books and awards. One box has 25 books that he had written. Now, there in the hospital, there was a little boy for whom all the books and all the awards in the world could not fill the emptiness inside his heart. There are so many important things to do with our lives. But just maybe one thing is more important than anything else. You know, it doesn't happen often. But maybe the most important thing is sharing your life with another human being. Because, you know, after all, it can't be taken away or even put into a trunk. Amen.
The Savior is waiting.
don't you let him come in?
Thank you, John Wolfe. John, have you got another word about this truth?
Thank you, Whit. Boy, as I read that lesson and think about what that means, Whit, I think of the persons, even in my own children, that I've not spent enough time with. I don't know how you measure how much time it takes, Whit, but taking the time to be with good friends is such a rich thing. We think of Jesus' life and how often he spent time with friends and what it meant to him. That's a powerful thing to think about. Part of our being a Christian is living it out in ways that relates to others, isn't it, Whit?
Yes, John. Jesus related to people. We can see that he cared about people. It pleased him when friends wanted to spend time with him, when they listened to him and he listened to them. John, doesn't this speak to us about the importance of taking time for worship and for prayer? No one can be a genuine Christian and ignore Jesus. More important than the earthly and material trappings of religion is intimate fellowship with the Lord. How amazing that God wants companionship with us. Take time to be holy. It's so important. Thank you, dear listener, for being with us today. We appreciate your listening and your praying for us at Methodist Hour, and we ask you to write us. Give us a word and let us know you are listening and praying for us. Our address, Methodist Hour, Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. We want to hear from you this week, and God bless you. And if you'll write us and we know your name, we'll pray for you as we hope and pray you're praying for us. Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.